This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. And welcome to Answers UK Radio, episode 20. My name's Paul Taylor, and I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. This is our magazine-style radio programme. And in a packed programme today, we're going to be talking to Rob Johnson, who is the coordinator of the National Day of Prayer that's been called for May the 4th. May the 4th, of course, is 2 days before the general election, so it's very important that we pray for our leaders and pray for the nation and the decisions that we're going to be making during that same week. We'll also be looking at what the BBC Trust are doing. They're carrying out a review into the impartiality of reports on the subject of science, and they've chosen someone to lead that review who is very, very far from being an impartial observer indeed. And we'll also be looking at some of the new products and things that you can get from us here at Answers in Genesis UK. I'll be talking to our warehouse administrator, Neil Seeds, about the various new things that you can get and some of the special offers that we have. Well, first, the National Day of Prayer. Now, Rob Johnson is a friend of our ministry and is a member of one of the local evangelical churches in the Leicester area. And he's put together a Facebook page called May the 4th National Day of Prayer, which, you know, we would urge people to have a look at and to get involved with. So I thought it would be good to invite Rob into our studio and to talk about the whole subject and why he was calling for a National Day of Prayer. Well, joining me in the studio at the moment is Rob Johnson. Hello, Rob. Welcome to you.
Hi there. Good to be here.
And Rob's going to be talking to us about the National Day of Prayer that that he's organised. But first, Rob, let's just find out a little bit about yourself. Now, you're I suppose we could describe as a local businessman. Would that be fair?
Comment? That's right. Yeah.
And with an established business in the area, and also you're one of the elders at a local church. Which church is that?
I'm a deacon at Bethel Evangelical Free Church in Wigston.
Okay. Right, sorry, I mustn't get these titles wrong. So, deacon at Bethel Free Evangelical Church. Free Evangelical Church doesn't mean they're not allowed to put money in the collection, does it?
No, no. It doesn't. We're not tied, thankfully.
Excellent. But one of the things that you do within the church, there's a lot of things that you do within the church, but one of the things that you do within the church is evangelism, isn't it? And there's a whole sort of program of evangelism out on the... Well, on the streets. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do evangelistically as part of that church.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we've started doing recently with Simon Terry, who was a speaker here at Answers in Genesis for quite some time, it's more him than me, to be honest with you, but we're going around knocking the doors, speaking to people, and sharing Christ with people on the doors. Something that still fills my heart with fear and trembling as we go out on the doors quite often, but such a needy work, and has been for a long time. So we go out, we take a life survey with us to ask people the big questions about life and about death and about heaven and about hell, and through that get great opportunities to share Christ with people.
Right. And you mentioned obviously that you're working sort of with Simon Terry, and Simon's well known to listeners. He's been on the on this podcast when he was with us, and we're trying to do what we can to support him in the work that he's doing, and also with our sister podcast, the Answers UK Ministry podcast. We recently released one of his talks, Genesis: The Big Picture. And I know one of Simon's burdens, particularly with regard
regard to evangelism was to see the creation message being used in evangelism as sort of Acts 17 evangelism, which is very close to our hearts. And, do you find that issues to do with creation or evolution ever get mentioned or asked about? As you
all the time. Very, very common indeed. In actual fact, people often, and as I used to do many years ago, used to use the so-called proven fact of evolution as an apologetic, if you like, against the Bible. The Bible can't be true because creation's been proved wrong, which of course it hasn't. But so that comes up an awful lot. So we try to demonstrate through the Bible that God did create. He certainly had the power to do it in six literal days, and that because we are all created by this holy God, then we are answerable to him. There's that accountability that comes with that.
Right. Would it be fair to say that to some extent the whole business, if you like, about creation and evolution and so on was to some extent responsible for bringing you to Christ in the first place, indirectly?
Hugely.
Yes.
Absolutely, hugely. The very first time that I ever heard creation and evolution being pitted against one another was on Newsnight in the year 2000, when Ken Ham was being interviewed and being verbally beaten up by three atheistic evolutionists in the studio, while Ken was sitting in a remote studio somewhere holding his own.
Yeah.
And it was just a few days later than that I got invited to one of his meetings at Knighton Evangelical Church in I think it was March or early April 2000. And it was the first time I was ever really confronted with biblical Christianity, and it had a huge impact upon me, being an atheistic evolutionist. Mm-hmm. It had a massive impact. I, for the very first time, saw the different side of the coin.
Right. So it's obviously close to your heart, and things to do with the way that the nation is going is close to your heart, as it is to ours as well. And for that reason, you've really, after prayer, you've really wanted to launch a national day of prayer for the future of the country, particularly bearing in mind that there has to be a general election at some point fairly soon. And so tell us about the date of that particular day of prayer, Rob, and what led you to call for this day of prayer, and why you've chosen that particular date.
Okay. Yeah, well, for at least 12 months now, the Lord has really put on my heart and really burdened me with praying for our leaders. They desperately need our prayers because they're really blind guides at the moment, largely. There are Christians certainly in Parliament, and we ought to pray for those. But largely, they're blind guides. And I've just really been really heartbroken with the state of our nation, going further and further away from God's word and slipping further and further into the quagmire, into the moral quagmire that we're in today. So I've been really burdened and been praying and encouraging people to pray for the leaders of our land. But of course, you rightly said that this year is an election year. If the Lord gives us that long, if he doesn't return before then. Yep. And the most likely date would be early in May, the experts seem to think. So I started this group on Facebook called 4th of May National Day of Prayer, and I've been inviting people, Bible-believing Christians, to join in with that.
Right.
That we might, if it's God's will, to energise people, energise believers around the UK to be praying for our leaders, praying that God would raise up godly leaders.
Yes.
And that they would lead us as they ought to do.
What day of the week is the 4th of May?
It's a Tuesday.
And have you had much response yet on your Facebook page?
Not very much, disappointingly. Sent out the invitations to a lot of people, and only a few have come back. Interestingly, I think it's quite difficult now to navigate around Facebook. It's got more and more difficult, actually.
Yes.
So it might be that people haven't been able to find it very easily. But they're steadily increasing, and it's also up to me really to be encouraging people who have joined to be inviting other people to join as well. It's not actually about numbers. I don't want to get really into the numbers game. Mm. It's really about really encouraging believing Christians to be earnestly praying, and perhaps even organising events to pray, to come together and pray for the nation.
Yeah. Now, why should we be praying for the nation and for our leaders? Is there any reason from Scripture why we should be doing so?
Yeah, absolutely. We're told 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is the Apostle Paul. I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So we are called to pray for our leaders, for the first place, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, that we might have that freedom to do so. But I believe that we're also exhorted to pray for our leaders, that they would become the Lord's, that they would deal with us as they ought to. I've been in contact with an MP, a Christian MP, who's really thrown down the challenge to me to be involved in politics. And I think he's quite right in that, because Romans 13 tells us that our leaders are God-ordained, actually, whether we like them or whether we don't. The leaders of our land are ordained by God. But along with that comes the challenge, really, I believe, to our politicians, that goes back that if they are then ordained by God, then he is their head, even if they're unbelievers. So they have a responsibility to govern us in a godly and diligent way, which clearly, on the whole, isn't being done.
What sort of duties do you think God is placing on our leaders?
I believe that he's calling our leaders to govern as they ought to, in a godly manner. That they ought to recognise his lordship over their lives. That's got to be the most important thing for every human being, the lordship of Christ over their lives. And rather than acting against him, Psalm 2 tells us that why do the nations conspire and peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. And that is really the leaders of our nation, and indeed the world largely today, isn't it? They don't want to be governed by God. They want to do it themselves. But God's got a real warning for them there. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can fire up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So again, there's a challenge, that's from Psalm 2, for our leaders to submit to the lordship of Christ. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and they be destroyed in their way. And this is really what I'm praying for, that many would come to know the Lord in these days. And I believe that if they do, they will almost automatically govern us as they ought to do, or certainly a lot better.
Yes. In fact, when it talks about kiss the Son, the Hebrew word used there is very similar to the Hebrew word that's translated elsewhere as worship, isn't it? We're told to worship the Son, worship Jesus, and this is what Scripture is laying on us, that we want to see our leaders do. We don't want to get political in any way. That's not our job here, but it's always going to be a but with a statement like that. We do know that there are some things that have happened in the last couple of years, whether they be in Parliament, whether they be in courts, whether they be among the police or whatever, that give us as Christians cause for concern. Are there any particular issues you think that we should be praying about? Or is it just general prayer that you're after? Are there any particular things that have come to your notice? Or so?
I think we can pray specifically, and perhaps we ought to do. And I think we can be completely non-partisan about this, because I think in many ways all the major, or the three major political parties, are pretty much the same on this. Perhaps the Conservatives are a little more family friendly, but we've got issues with gay relationships and civil partnerships, haven't we?
Yes.
And things like that. I can't recall anything else that comes to mind at the moment, but there are a number of issues. Mm.
Well, we had a preacher being arrested in one part of the country for reading out Romans 1, pointing out what the Bible has to say about homosexual relationships, haven't we? We've had issues where creationism can't be mentioned in schools and evolution is now to be taught as a fact and since September 2007, whereas prior to that it was encouraged that these things should be discussed and so on. And there seems to be an ever-increasing pressure, particularly in schools, to go to an American-style system of separating church and state, where there would be no prayer in schools, whereas historically that's not been the way that we've done things in this country. We've always, prayer has always been welcomed, in fact encouraged and almost enforced actually in schools, hasn't it? That seems to be changing.
It certainly does, and I think going back to another one of your points there, I think one of the proposals of the Conservative Party, should they get into power, is actually to outlaw schools that would promote creationism.
Yes.
And that's a serious concern. I certainly know that there's one school, good Christian school, that would teach, yes, they would teach about evolution, but they would teach from the Bible what God says in his word about how he created things. And that is a real concern.
Yes. And we've heard similar things from the other parties as well. So it's certainly been a concern. And I think it's something that we want to back you with, we want to encourage people to pray for the nation. And so reminding people again, it's going to be the 4th of May, Tuesday the 4th of May. If people want to sort of get involved with this, Rob, with this initiative, what sort of things are you hoping to see people do? Are you hoping to see churches organising prayer meetings that evening, or maybe 24-hour prayer chains, that sort of thing? Or what sort of things are you hoping to see?
Absolutely, anything like that would be absolutely great, to absolutely bathe this whole thing in prayer, to bring our land before the Lord in prayer, of course under the authority of your church leaders.
Yes.
That's really important to do that, and to encourage them to really get the whole of whichever fellowship you may be involved in behind this in prayer. I'd love to see up and down the land that fellowships will be really getting behind this.
Yes.
So that'd be really good.
And if people want to get in contact with you to let you know that they are involved, to give you some idea of numbers, if you like, how can they do that? Is that through Facebook or
they
what?
Can do it through Facebook, and I can't remember my Facebook address, so that's not a lot of good, so I'll give you my email address. But you can do it through rob.johno, that's rob.johno@googlemail.com.
That's great, and I'll give that email address again after this interview. And if you contact Answers in Genesis, mentioning that you've heard this interview, then we will forward your information to Rob, so that he's encouraged and knows that there are plenty of people who want to be involved in this way. So once again, it's Tuesday, the 4th of May. And it's to try and get involved in any way that you can, and for the day to be bathed in prayer. And it's really over to you, the listeners, to take note of that. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the leaders of our nation, the existing leaders, the possible replacement leaders that there might be or not, as the case may be. We need to pray for wisdom for ourselves. In our casting of votes and so on, and so all these things need to be brought before the Lord in prayer. So thank you very much for being with us, Rob. Is there any other comments you wanted to make on the subject, anything that you wanted to encourage us with to conclude?
No, that'll do. Just keep praying and bring, and even if the result doesn't turn out to be what we'd hope, yes, Let's remember that God is sovereign, he's in control of all things, even bad governments. And I heard somebody recently, actually only just a couple of days ago, say that we probably get the government that we deserve, and that's a sobering thought.
It is indeed. So thank you very much for being with us, Rob, and remember again, May the 4th, and the email address is rob.johno@googlemail.com, or you can contact Rob by sending something to us, and we'll forward that information to Rob. Thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
BBC. This is London calling the world.
Hello, world.
That was the voice of England.
We're in a bad way, mate.
Shush. Mr. Siegel, don't spoil this magic moment.
The BBC Trust is the body that oversees the programming and activities of the BBC, and they're carrying out a number of reviews to look into the subject of impartiality in their coverage. One review team will be looking at the review of impartiality in the BBC's coverage of science. On the 25th of March, they announced that the person who they'd chosen to lead the review into impartiality and accuracy in the BBC's coverage of science was Professor Steve Jones. He's the Professor of Genetics and the head of the Department of Genetics, Evolution and Environment at the University College London. He's going to take the sole lead, according to the article on the BBC Trust's website. He'll be the sole lead in the review. His background is in evolution and on the forces promoting genetic diversity, according to their press release. It's very interesting, then, that therefore there'll be obviously a complete bias, really, as to how they... the BBC covers the whole subject of creationism. After all, Steve Jones is known to many of us. There was a famous Newsnight interview some years ago, where Steve Jones and a number of other people were in the Newsnight studio, and Ken Ham was talking from a studio in Cardiff. And really, the only arguments that Professor Jones and others had against what Ken had to say was really to insult him and to... really use the very basis type of argumentation. And I've noticed something of that myself. I was involved in a TV discussion in which Professor Jones took part. In this particular clip on the program in which I appeared, Professor Jones was being asked about the views of some school students who had been talking about, some of them saying that they thought it would be a good idea for creationism to be mentioned in science lessons. And when he was asked about this and about a BBC poll that had recently found that 44% of the public wanted creationism to be taught in science lessons in schools, this was his response.
Well, I find it very depressing. There's always been a lot of stupidity around in Britain, and obviously the levels are going up.
In fact, Professor Jones went on to show that he had a rather patronising attitude towards these young people. This is what he went on to say as he was talking about their call for creationism to be taught in science lessons.
What's particularly depressing is to hear those kids, who seem very nice kids, obviously the propaganda's got to them, and they're now beginning to doubt established scientific fact. I wonder whether they'd be happy in their geography lessons to be told to consider the idea that the Earth is flat. I kind of doubt it.
Do you think creationism should be taught at all?
Well, I myself think not, but that's my personal opinion, not my opinion as a scientist. However, as a scientist, I feel strongly, as all scientists do, that it should not be taught in science lessons because it is not a science, it's a matter of belief.
So this is the man who has been selected by the BBC Trust to lead their review into impartiality in the BBC's coverage of science. It strikes us as an organisation that the most contentious issue really being discussed in science in the media at the moment is the subject of creation versus evolution. And the BBC Trust have picked someone who has a very strongly biased position on that subject. So it's important really that people comment on this. A number of creationists, myself included, have made complaints to the BBC Trust, and it's very interesting that we have all received an absolutely identical reply. It's a standard reply, and the wording has been absolutely identical, apart from the saying my email says "Dear Mr. Taylor" at the top. But other than that, the emails have been identical. So we really need to hold the BBC to account on this particular subject. So if you have been listening to this broadcast and you want to find out more about what the BBC say, do have a look at the BBC Trust's website. You'll find it by looking at bbc.co.uk/BBC Trust. If you want a little bit more information, try going to bbc.co.uk/BBC Trust/news/press_releases, and then you should be able to find the particular press release that we're talking about. Otherwise, just try starting from the BBC site and use their search engine to find the documents required. Well, there have been a lot of new products out recently, and so I thought it would be good to talk to our warehouse administrator, Neil Seeds, about some of these products. So I climbed down the stairs, down towards the dungeon, where all these particular products are kept, so that I could talk to Neil. Well, it's good sometimes to make the trip down the stairs into the deep, dark dungeon that we like to call the warehouse, so that we can visit our warehouse administrator, Neil Seeds, where he's chained up to the wall as he administers the books here. We just come and throw him a crust or two occasionally and talk to him about books and things. So thank you very much for joining us today, Neil.
Yes, thank you, Paul, and I must say thank you to those of you out there that did wish me well based on my last appearance here on the podcast, and throw the sympathy vote for the stale crusts that I do receive. Thank you.
Well, we've got a number of products here that are very interesting. The first one is a brand new book written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. How did that happen then?
Yeah, right. It's actually a collection of his sermons based on Genesis. The book is called The Gospel in Genesis, From Fig Leaves to Faith. It particularly concentrates on Genesis 3 to 12 with Abraham and his call and such things, but it delves with all manner of different things from Genesis, and it's a collection of, as I say, his sermons. It's priced at £7. It's produced in the UK by Day One using the license from a US publication. And yes, it's a delight to have it, particularly on the basis that Martin Lloyd-Jones's previous book that we were advertising, What is an Evangelical, has done so well for us. It has been very well received, and on the basis of that, we heartily recommend this and are pleased to have it by such a well-renowned author.
There are a number of people who say that they are very much influenced by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and yet are really not taking cognizance of the fact that Martin Lloyd-Jones really hammers home the point that to be an evangelical and to really understand Genesis properly, you can't just take a spiritual meaning from it. You've actually got to know and believe that this is historical fact, which is the point that he puts across in this little book, isn't it?
It is, yes. It is so important, and particularly with the whole idea of all authority being in question at the moment, to have something that you can refer to from years gone by, which hammers home the point as well, and looks at it from Genesis, a great starting point, as we would all agree here at AIG. It's a privilege to have it.
Now, the second book we've got here on the list is the New Answers book. It's the New Answers book 3, because it's the third in the trilogy of books. So what can you tell me about this product?
Well, obviously you've just mentioned it there, but this now has 36 questions answered. They are different to anything from the first two. They might go into a little bit more detail. I mean, a couple of them, for example, the first chapter says, where was the Garden of Eden located? A lot of people tend to think that you can, they can trip us up on such questions. And so it is important that we equip ourselves with these answers. So again, we have a lot of questions answered by various authors, including yourself, Paul.
There's two chapters in there that I've written.
Yeah, that's right. So we have that now. That's £9. And as such, we've now got the collection, the trilogy of the New Answers books, which is £22 for all three. Normally they're £9 each, but £22 you can buy all three of them now.
That's great, and we didn't mention, of course, that The Gospel in Genesis by Martin Lloyd-Jones is £7. And then we've got another book here, which is actually two books, really. It's a two-volume work by Andrew Snelling that we did talk about on the podcast before, Earth's Catastrophic Past, which is really an updating of the classic Whitcomb and Morris book,
the Genesis flood. And Andrew was asked to consider writing this by Henry Morris, and we've got this at what price at the moment?
It's normally £40 for the two volumes, certainly about 1,000 pages involved there. It's very comprehensive, but at the moment, until the end of May, we've got it an introductory price of £38.
Another technical book that we've got here, for those who really want to get to grips with this whole subject, is called Rock Solid Answers, which is a collection of essays edited by Mike Ward and John Reed, with various essays by a number of people, including Andrew Snelling and Aaron Hutchinson and many others. So these are obviously essays on the subject of geology, 14 geological questions, very much a highly advanced answers book, really, on very important aspects of geology. So that book is also published by Master Books, as many of the other Answers in Genesis US books are, for a price of £12. What's this next book that we've got here? This is a beautiful, colourful book. Well, tell us about this one here.
Right, yeah, it's called One Small Speck to Man, The Evolution Myth. Now, you may have heard of that before. This is a second edition. It's revised and expanded by Dr. Vij Sadera. We had the privilege of meeting up with him when he gave us some of these books. And it's great to hear firsthand some of the things that he got involved with when he was compiling this book, and some of the photography that he was taking, and some of the experiments that he was doing on the dissections and such like of various animals. It was fascinating to hear of some of his stories. So to read this, I mean, it's a large tome. It's a big hardback, about 550 pages, very colourful, would equally adorn a coffee table as well as your library. And it's an important work. It goes into vast detail, but yet it's accessible, particularly with the photographs that are in there.
I think this is really an exhaustive work on this, on the subject of why evolution is wrong. And Vij is a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons, and his commitment to this book is just immense. He and his daughter have compiled the book and organised it and arranged for it to be produced, and he's also done most of the photography in the book himself. And in fact, many, because he's so interested in animals and so on, the, many of the dissections that you can see throughout the book as well, he's actually carried out and photographed. So there's just a huge wealth of commitment from beginning to end. And it's an absolutely beautiful book. And we're selling this for how much?
That's £25, that. But as I say, it's a solid book, a colourful book, a glossy book. So £25 is pretty good for what it is.
It's actually a bargain when you consider what this book is. We're now moving on to some DVDs. And of course, we are selling quite a large book called Evolution, The Grand Experiment. But I've just picked up a DVD that's got the same title. So tell me about this one.
Yes, that's right. The book, again, similar to Once More Spectre Man, is a big glossy book, and it's available basically to sit on a coffee table, again to be used as a starting point for people who believe in evolution, and to show that it isn't fact, far from it. And it looks at various evidences, and a lot of people, of course, they like these books, but when there's a documentary produced on the subject, it's all the more better. And the same with this. Evolution, The Grand Experiment is on DVD. It very much follows the book, and it's a documentary style where a lot of different scientists are interviewed, and without spoiling it for you, the best bit, in my opinion, of it is where it interviews a chappie who found the fossil of Rhodocetus, which is supposedly a missing link of the whale, and he actually sort of explains and admits on the DVD that the fluke tail that is part of the drawings there is actually no more than artistic license, really.
Absolutely amazing. Now, this next DVD is actually a double DVD set, a very interesting DVD set, and is called On the Shoulders of Giants. And so this one has been produced and put together by Todd Friel. What can we say about this?
Well, as you know, Todd Friel is the main host of the Wretched Radio series, and sometimes he goes out and does some DVDs. This one, he's gone all round Europe. He's across Belgium and Germany and the UK, Edinburgh, London, Bedford and the like, and basically he's looking at what the reformers would say to us today. And what he's saying is that some of the difficulties that we have right now aren't new. People have come across arguments against the Bible and the authority of God's word before, and so he looks at a number of different issues and places, and looks into the history of these wonderful men who stood up to be counted upon the word of God.
And as we said, it's by my good friend Todd Friel, in fact, who I'm going to be working with very shortly when I travel over to the United States in May to attend the Psalm 119 conference, which Todd has organised. We mentioned that the first of the DVDs goes through a lot of information to do with the reformers. The second DVD looks at some of the issues that have arisen from the Reformation, and I had the privilege of being involved in one of the segments there, where we looked at the what James Hutton had to say about the rocks around Edinburgh, and really talked about the whole issue of creation and evolution. Medical doctor who's involved in the whole subject of creation and evolution is Dr. Tommy Mitchell, who's a full-time speaker now, in fact, for Answers in Genesis in the United States, but spent a lot of his career as a medical doctor. We've got a couple of DVDs of his. One here is called Modern Medicine and Ancient Authority, which he looks back over his time as a practicing doctor. But this other DVD by Tommy Mitchell is worth commenting on. It's called Jurassic Prank, which presumably therefore must have something to do with the famous film with a similar name.
Indeed it does, and it's got clips of it in as well, which is great, particularly to show younger people in your family. I looked at it with my 11-year-old son, who thoroughly enjoyed it. So if you've got children that you feel okay to watch the likes of Jurassic Park or whatever, they would thoroughly enjoy this lecture. It's got lots of, clips in it, various bits of PowerPoint presentation, and a lot of humour in there with Tommy Mitchell and his deep South accent. It's great fun.
And the last DVD that we've got out here is by Dr. Georgia Purdom, and some of you may have seen things by Georgia before. She's a molecular geneticist, that's what her PhD is in, and so we've seen things on the subject of molecular genetics in the past. It's an interesting DVD that we've got here, though, because this is not a piece of heavy science. This DVD is called Hope Amid Despair, The Legacy of Eve.
That's right. It is a huge step away from her normal genre of things. This is within the Biblical Authority section of the Creation Library series of DVDs, and indeed it looks at the biblical issues of womanhood. That also is to be dealt with as in the current Answers magazine. That's volume 5, issue 2. It's addressed in there, but it's nice to have something completely different on our shelves here to be able to offer you. So yes, The Legacy of Eve on Biblical Womanhood would be a great addition to your library.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Neil, for chatting to us about the various products here. And of course, if you want to get hold of any of those products, give us a ring on the number that I'll give at the end of the programme, or visit our website at answersingenesis.org/UK. Thank you. Well, remember, if you want to get hold of any of the products that have been mentioned in this programme, then give us a ring on 0116 270 8400, or go onto the web answersingenesis.org/UK, and that will enable you to get straight into the UK web store if you follow the link for the store at that point. If you want to join in, and please do so, please do join in with the May the 4th National Day of Prayer, then have a look at Facebook and search for May the 4th National Day of Prayer. You'll find the relevant page. Join that page, become a fan of that particular group, and take part in the activities that are mentioned. Have a look what's said there on that subject. And if you want to talk to the BBC about their appointment of Professor Steve Jones to lead the review of impartiality, in the BBC's coverage of science, then have a look, please, at the BBC's website and find the relevant page and the means of commenting on that subject. In the meanwhile, try and keep your podcasting software up to date so that you don't miss a single episode of this programme. And in the meanwhile, thank you for listening. Goodbye and God bless.